have been listening to Andre St. James on bass, Mike Gamble on guitar, Dana Reason on piano, Juniana Lanning on laptop, Ken Aulis percussion, Barra Brown on drums, Noah Bernstein on sax, Doug Dietrich on trumpet, John Savage on sax and flute, Doug Terrio on laptop guitar, all at once. Thank you, everybody. This has been a wonderful, wonderful night. Everybody give yourselves a hand. Yeah. In honor and happy 50th anniversary of A Love Supreme, which I think I heard in there. The time is 11 o'clock and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This has been our A Different Nature special whiz bang. Thanks for tuning in. And remember that we'll still take one last pledge if you want a pair of free tickets to Orchestra Becomes Radicalized tomorrow night, featuring people like Holland Andrews, Jonathan Seeloff, Reed Walsmith, Brian Mumford, Luke Weiland, Ben Cates, Doug Terrio, Ryan Miller, Andrew Jones, Jesse Johnson, and Jesse Melman, which is why they weren't here tonight. They're all practicing for tomorrow night. This will be at Holocene tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Opening the show will be a group that you heard tonight, Amani. And somebody else, I think. Noah Bernstein and Amani. Okay, we have a pair of tickets, so call us right now at 503-231-8187. We have only one pair to give away. Thanks once again, everybody. This is Daniel. This has been A Different Nature, program of new music. And everybody's going to go get really drunk now, even though it's a Monday night. Stay tuned for the Ubu Hour coming up next on your community radio station. Where else? KBOO Portland.
Good night.
Wow.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Ornette, Made in America, showing Thursday, December 17th at 7 p.m. Released in 1985, Ornette, Made in America, explores the rhythms, images, and myths of America seen through the eyes of an Ornette Coleman's imagination and artistic evolution over three decades. Again, that's Ornette, Made in America, Thursday, December 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The time is 11 p.m. and you are tuned for the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
KBOO Portland.
It's a few minutes after 11 p.m. You are listening to the radio. The show you are listening to is called The Ubu Hour. In a few minutes, you will hear some audio drama.
You will not hear advertisements on this station. You will not hear the same old shit you hear on other channels.
Instead, you will hear material that you won't hear on other stations. You will hear shows like The Ubu Hour, bringing you edgy and different audio drama.
The reason you are able to listen to this show is that people just like you contributed money to the one station that dares to air a program like the one you are about to hear.
They called the phone number. They donated money to keep this radio station going. And they provided the support we need. It's because of them that we are able to keep airing this show and all the other shows you hear on this radio outlet.
Who are these people? They are awesome people. They are heroes. They are the best people in the world. Willing to put some of their hard-earned money into the cause of a radio station that serves up programming for the underserved and the creative.
Who are these people? They are the people who care. They are the people who do their small part to make this a better world. They are the people without which this radio station would not exist, because KBOO does not take advertising dollars or government funds.
Who are these people? They give us donations of $60 a year, $100 a year, sometimes even more. They decide exactly how much they want to contribute.
They donate by small monthly automatic withdrawals from a bank account. And they donate by credit card. And they donate by sending us a check.
Who are these people? Who are these cool, wonderful people that empower us? These people are you. Make that call right now, 503-231-8187. Call now and make a donation.
503-231-8187.
Be the person you want to be. Contribute to the power of community radio. Call us now and tell us how much you care about us. We are waiting for your call.
And if you don't want to call, you can go online to kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
What are you waiting for? Have you made that call?
503-231-8187. I'm not going to read this last line because that's not how you're supposed to end a pitch.
And now our feature presentation.
Set in the growing city of Portland, Oregon.
Bah! Buildings sprout up everywhere you look. People move in from California and back east. This place is not the same. Portland is becoming a big city like San Francisco or Astoria or Oregon City.
Please, Frank, come back inside. You don't want to make a scene.
Make a scene? I'm not the one who's destroying Portland. It's the people who built that ironclad monstrosity across the street who are making a scene. In a few years, we will not even recognize this place. Look at that building, three levels high. Can you imagine such a thing here in Portland, Charity?
I don't know what we can do about it, Frank, but you need to come back inside. You know what Dr. Quimby said about your heart.
But do you see what I'm saying, don't you, Charity? That damn mayor and those damn developers.
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying, Frank. A couple days ago, I went uptown and I didn't know where I was. Unfamiliar buildings everywhere. I didn't think I was in Portland anymore. Everything changes so fast.
Damn developers, that's what it is. Build it and they will come. They build these cheap iron cast towers. They are destroying Portland. Here come some more outsiders.
Please, Frank.
Go back to where you came from. We don't want you here.
You need to come inside, Frank.
Hello there. Can we talk to you?
Us?
Yes, we want to talk to you.
This is where our tale begins. Portland, Oregon, at the dawn of the 60s. A pair of mysterious strangers on horseback ride up the street towards Charity and Frank.
Frank stands outside the door of their two-room shack. He points to the new three-story hotel and office building across the street.
We just live here. You want over there, I think.
No, we want the people who live here. Is your name Frank?
Yes, but I don't know anything about what you might ask.
We want to talk to you and your Charity.
Yes, that's my name. What's this all about?
We want to ask you some questions. We rode all the way from Gaspar Gulch on the southeast edge of the territory.
You two girls ride all the way here by yourselves?
No, we have our guns with us. You gonna talk to us?
Okay. You got questions? Shoot. I mean, with the questions, not with a revolver.
I'm looking for my brother, Chester.
Chester who?
Chester Granger.
He paid you money to sleep in your horse shed, and then you sold his horse and saddle. We saw the bill of sale.
We don't know what happened to him when he didn't come back. What were we supposed to do?
Make a profit off his misfortune, of course. Take the money and don't ask questions.
People who ask too many questions get in trouble around here. But that won't stop you because you look like a real troublemaker.
We don't want any problems, girl. We'd give you the money for the saddle if we still had it. We're just trying to survive, too. We still have some of his stuff. Frank, go get what that boy left behind.
You really have no clue what happened to him?
No, I suppose I could make a guess, though.
And what would be that guess?
Bad things happen in that bad part of town. He wouldn't be the first young man who just upped and disappeared. Here's Frank with some of his personal effects.
Wasn't much, really. Just this rucksack and a few items of clothing.
And if there was any money in it, you'd have sold his stuff, too. And what's this?
Varla picks up a crumpled handbill among Chester's personal effects.
Danny's Den of Devilish Delights. Wild women, free booze for the discerning gentleman. North 2nd and Davis.
That's a clue. Where's North 2nd and Davis?
That would be the north end of town, Whitechapel. But you girls don't want to go there.
Why not?
Even I wouldn't go there. Too dangerous. Gangsters and Chinamen and drunk sailors and young hicks from the wilderness looking for cheap booze and whores.
That's where he disappeared. Lots of young men vanish in that part of town, and if you go there, lady, that'll happen to you too. And what they do to women is even worse than what they do to men.
It sounds like my kind of place. Come on, Sally, let's find a place to stable our steeds.
And with that, they rein their horses around and head back down the dusty street. Another rider trots past them and stops in front of the new three-floor hotel across from the home of Charity and Frank. As he hitches his horse, he glances back at the two women riding away.
Well, I'll be. That looked like Sally Ash and Vera Knight on those horses. What in tarnation are they doing here? Bobby Ash better hear this.
He spits out his shoe and enters the building. On the top floor suite, Bobby Ash looks over some draft plans and puffs on a cigar. The man stomps into the room.
Hey, Colt! Wipe your damn boots before you come in. There, at the door. Don't want my floor all dirty.
Sorry, Bobby. Didn't mean to mess up your floor. But I got something I got to tell you.
What is it, Colt? Problems at the new build site?
No. Well, that too. But just a moment ago, outside on the street, I saw your Aunt Sally and that other girl, Varla.
Here in Portland? Why would they be here?
I don't know, but that's who I saw. They were talking to those old-timers across the street from here.
You sure it was them?
Sure as shit, Bobby. I was there at Gasper Gulch. I seen what they did to your family. It wasn't a pretty sight.
Just now, did they see?
Don't think they did at all. Not at all, sir.
Doesn't that beat all? You hear that, Nora? My dear Aunt Sally's in town.
I heard it, Bobby. You think they came here for you?
Why would they come for me? I'm the one that should be coming for them. Murdered my dad, my brother, and my uncle. Murdered them all in cold blood.
Yep, they did it and got clean away with it. I was there. All us deputies known that Varla Knight and A.K.A. Vera done it. She shot Billy and Johnny Ash, and Sally paid her to do it. And nothing was done about it. Nothing at all.
Your dad, your brother, and your Uncle Clyde. You never cared about any of them when they were alive. Soon you turned 16, Bobby. You up and left them behind. They are the past. What you have here is the future.
That doesn't mean they're not my family. They were my flesh and blood, and those girls murdered them. I can't just let that go. It's like they came here to rub it in my face, and I'm supposed to let it go?
What if they came here to finish the job they started at Gasper Gulch?
Turn the other cheek and all, just as Jesus would say.
Well, Jesus didn't know everything. I didn't make my fortune in San Francisco by turning the other cheek.
Bible also says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and to smite down one's enemies as thy enemies would do the same to you, or something like that. Better to kill them before they kill you.
Listen, Bobby, don't let the blood in your eyes get in the way of common sense. You didn't become a 100 grandee by being rash and stupid.
Bobby, you're a 100 grandee man? But you're not even yet 30 years old.
That's right, Colt. I'm worth over $100,000. And I'll make even more if the mayor lets me develop these new properties.
Good luck with that. You're a newbie here, Bobby Ash, and they don't like newbies honing in on their game.
So what are you going to do about them girls?
As a man of wealth, I think I can afford to buy some proper justice for my dear dad, Billy, and Uncle Clyde. Find out where they are, Colt, and round up a posse.
Yes, sir. I will do that, sir. I am on it, sir.
As Colt departs with a feeling of purpose and mission, a portly middle-aged man enters the room.
Can I help you?
Mayor Johnson, what are you doing here? Bobby, this is the mayor.
So you must be Bobby Ash.
Yes. We finally meet, Mayor Johnson, sir. Let me light that for you.
The mayor has pulled out a cigar and tucked it into the side of his mouth. Bobby Ash steps forward with a small sardine tin-like object in his hands. With a flick of his wrist, he lifts up the lid at the top end and a lit match pops up from the mechanism.
Well, ain't that something? A mini self-lighting torch!
Invented it myself. An automatic match lighter with a dozen match cartridge. When the cartridge runs out of matches, I pull it out and put in another.
He flicks the match into an ashtray and tucks the device back into his shirt pocket. The mayor puffs on his cigar.
Anyway, I didn't come here to see your toys.
I figured as much. Are you going to allow me to develop the block on 12th?
We can talk about it. The permitting process can be long and arduous. But there might be a faster way if you allow my associate, Mr. Kinney, to become a partner.
No. I told him no. I would rather go through the correct channels than to have that clown suck up half my profits.
More words collide between Bobby Ash and the mayor of Portland. And then the mayor throws a cigar on the floor and walks out the door.
That didn't go well, did it?
Like I need this. He just wants a damn bribe. As if I don't have problems enough with the ones who murdered my family showing up in town.
Bobby Ash stares out the window at the growing city below. Then he pulls out another cigar and lights it up.
At the two-room shack of Frank and Charity, a loud knock on the door.
Now who the fuck is calling at this hour of the day?
Mind your language, Frank. Let's see who it is.
A couple of louds. What do you guys want?
Let him in, Frank.
Thank you, ma'am. Sir, ma'am. We're looking for a couple of women that were here earlier.
One named Sally Ash. Dark-haired one named Varla. These girls were here.
Those crazy girls looking for their lost brother.
We don't know nothing about no Chester Granger. That's what you're asking. We can't help you, sir.
We told the girls everything we know, which was nothing.
No, we're not looking for Granger. We're looking for the two girls. You know where they're headed?
They were headed for some place in North End. We told you those girls were plumb crazy.
North End? No shit. What place in North End?
It was Davis and something. Davis and 3rd or 2nd. It was on a handbill.
Some gin joint smack dab dead center in the heart of the Badlands. That's where they were headed, sir. Danny's dingy dive on Davis and dumb shit or something like that.
Danny's? I heard of it. That place is run by crimps.
Crimps? That's why that boy never came back.
Can you imagine those poor girls thinking that you'd just stroll into the North End like that?
You ask me, they'll be gang raped and whored before they make it 2 blocks into the North End.
Oh dear, I hope you boys rescue them from their stupidity before something bad happens to them.
Yeah, rescue them, that's what we'll do. Thank you, sir and ma'am. You have been most helpful. Come on, Dogger.
You hear that, Colt? North End, most likely the problem will solve itself.
Let's see what Bobby Ash says. Knowing him, he'll want us to go in there and make sure they are dead.
Or worse than dead.
He'll be pissed royal he didn't get the chance to kill them himself.
And then it's an hour later, with the sun about to set beyond the western hills. A couple cowboys on foot walk past Ankeny Street on 2nd into the infamous North End.
Portland's North End, also known as Whitechapel or the Badlands, is a den of iniquity. Bounded by Ankeny to the south, Flanders to the north, Forth to the west, and the river to the east.
This sprawl of blocks is dominated by saloons, whorehouses, opium dens, and rooming houses for male transients and sailors. The place stank of every sordid and twisted perversion and sin invented by godless men.
Any and every crime on the books happens here in North End, and the cops are paid off to look the other way. Here come another couple of hayseeds. Welcome to the North End, you innocent fools. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
This beard is itchy, Verla.
Shh, and let me do the talking.
Howdy, partners. You boys looking for a good time? You came to the right place. I'll tell you where to go.
We already have a place to go. Danny's Den, 2nd and Davis. You know it?
Yes, Devil Dan's Den of Delights. Maybe tonight they got the free booze. But maybe you boys too young for that. You sound like you ain't out of puberty. Though with those beards, you must be older than that.
What's that all about, old man? Why would they give away booze when they could sell it like everyone else?
Brings in the business. But maybe you should try Johnny's Tavern on Burnside, one block from here. They got cheap drinks, some games of chance in the back room. And the hottest girls work there. Much, much hotter than Danny's.
Yeah? How much Johnny paying you to steer customers to his pathetic gamble joint? We're headed to dance.
Varla and Sally enter Portland's infamous North End neighborhood. On one block, a crowd eggs on a pair of men in a knife fight.
Stab him! Kill him! Fuck him up!
Knife out his fucking guts! Knife him to the hilt!
On the next corner is a crazy preacher.
Sin. If there was ever a hell on earth, this is it. Repent, my brethren, repent. The devil walks these streets in 1,000 different disguises. Do not fall in his talon grasp. The wages of sin are upon us. Now is the time to repent. Repent and feel his word in your mouth and in your soul. Repent.
Another couple blocks. We're almost there. You doing okay, Sally?
This is crazy, Varla. The only women here are those naked girls hanging out those windows over there.
Prostitute, Sally. Just keep walking.
Hey, you boys want some action? I'll do you both at the same time if the price is right.
Maybe later, sweetheart. We got a place to go.
Yes, they had a place to go. Danny's Den of Devilish Delights. A smoky basement dive where minutes later, Varla and Sally take seats at the bar.
You are here at the right time, boys. The booze is on the house. Only 30 people get inside, then we close the doors for the floor show, and you are the last two. You boys need to catch up to the others.
We got the most exotic strippers from the far corners of the world. And then after they strip, there's some rooms in back if you see something you like.
And these girls will do anything, boys. They are here for all your carnal pleasures and desires. They will do anything, no matter how filthy or perverted or degrading.
There's a couple of cold ones for you. No need to reach for your billfolds. On the house. Drink up, boys.
Bottoms up. No sobriety allowed in this place.
Man, this place is awesome. I can't wait for the girls. Bring on the girls!
They're getting ready in the back. Have another drink, my friend. And you two, with the beards. You need to catch up to everyone else. Have you downed your glasses yet?
I downed it in one swoop. Give me another.
And your friend there. Another for him, too. Any other empty glasses? Get them filled and then bottoms up. Free drinks for the next 5 minutes only.
The server races around the room with a large bottle to refill upraised tankards and steins. Varla leans close to Sally.
Remember what I told you. You're doing okay?
Yeah. There's some nice-looking guys here. That one over there's a hunk.
We're not here to eye-fuck boys. Let me see that drink.
You two guys look good. Hey, I'm talking to you.
What's your problem, man?
You two are kind of weird, whispering in each other's ears like that.
What are you all whispering about?
What do you care?
You guys seem kind of funny to me, that's all. Something not right about you.
Maybe there's something not right about you if you think something's wrong with the people around you.
Are you making mockery of me?
I don't have to. You're doing it yourself.
You asking for something? Huh? I can whip your ass! And the ass of your little boyfriend there, too.
Hey, you. Where are you boys from?
From the eastern part of the territory, Gasper Gulch.
That's nothing. I came out here all the way from Missouri. Let me tell you, nothing like this in Missouri. No siree, free booze and hot women.
You've been here before?
Nah, first time, but not the last.
Then how do you know the girls are hot?
They fucking better be hot. The people who work here said they were. Man, I don't care. I haven't fucked a girl in fuck I don't know how long.
I hope he's not bothering you, sir. He drank way too much. He kinda drank some of mine, because I'm not supposed to drink.
It's been so long I can look at you and want to fuck you, because you sound like a girl, and without the beard maybe you'd look like one too. How fucking crazy is that?
Yeah, that's kinda crazy.
He's too drunk. He doesn't say stuff like that. Please, don't beat him up or anything. He doesn't mean that shit.
Oh, fuck. I shouldn't be saying this shit. I shouldn't be saying this shit to you, but I've never been this drunk.
He fell right over. He sure was drunk.
Yeah, he drank some of mine, but I feel sick just drinking what I did. He didn't mean to call you a girl. He was just drunk stupid.
Hey, damn, if this room ain't spinning like something terrible, what the fuck? I feel drowsy.
From another room behind the bar, the crimps watch dispassionately as the 24+ men in the room begin to collapse on the floor.
We're down to the dock and let them know we'll soon deliver the goods.
Sure thing, away I go.
Meanwhile, Ash rides up on his horse to the construction site of his new building, where Colt and Dogger have gathered a posse of men on horseback.
Okay, everyone. Colt told you where we're headed?
Yeah.
And everyone knew he's got a weapon? And I'm paying you all triple time for tonight.
Yeah!
Great. Let's ride into the heart of the North End.
In double file with Bobby Ash in the lead, they ride their steeds down the streets towards the North End. Meanwhile, back at depraved Dan's Den of Demonic Delights, the men are passed out on the floor.
You were right about the drinks. That was clever to just pour them into our beards. Now what?
We wait. Don't make a sound or a move.
Let's get a move on. Grab that end of the bar. Okay, now heave.
Okay, got it. There.
They open a large door in the floor that is partly hidden by the bar. Down below, in the darkness, is a large cart on a set of rail tracks.
Now let's get these motherfuckers loaded up and out of here. Remove the wallets and any money first.
Okay, lower them as much as possible before you drop. The captain complains when there's too many broken bones.
Broken bones are better than overdosing. A week ago they all died on us. Had to dump every last one of them in the river.
That was Jack's fuck up. Let me give you a hand.
Meanwhile, down at the dock along the river, the other crimp joins the ship captain and his first mate at a wharf.
Howdy, Captain. We got the goods for you this time.
Leave it when I see it, boy.
The crimp pulls off some boards on the dock to reveal a set of rail tracks that emerge from beneath a rusted iron door in the side of the wall. He then unlocks the door and pulls it open.
Shouldn't be long, Captain, sir.
I hope not. Can't stand this place. one of the filthiest hellholes of the world, and believe me, friend, I've seen them from all corners of this filthy world.
It can't be so bad. You get a crew for cheap, Captain.
True, I can't argue with that.
To the basement bar, Danny's den, where the crimps are piling the unconscious men into the cart in the subterranean passageway.
This one is small, just a fucking kid. They'll make him the cabin boy. I can handle him by myself.
Ah, fuck, he's still awake. And his beard came right off in my hand.
What the fuck? It's a fucking girl, look!
Grabbing Sally by the hair in the back of her neck, the crimp rips open her shirt to expose her breasts. The other crimp stares in surprise, and Sally stares back wide-eyed in surprise and fear. The crimp looks at the other crimp and then back at Sally.
Just what we need. The captain will be accusing us of padding the numbers with discarded whores.
You fucking little bitch! I'm gonna break your fucking...
Ouch! No!
Fuck, he's got my gun!
What the fuck?
Let go of her!
Do you know who we are?
I don't give a shit who the fuck you are.
The crimp lets go of Sally to grab for his gun, and Sally ducks while Varla shoots him between the eyes. A shocked look on his face, he reels back, stumbling over a body.
Grab his gun, Sally. We've got incoming.
Several more crimps burst into the room with guns blazing. And Sally leap behind a table, firing back at them.
On the left. He looks like he knows something. Don't kill him.
I don't know if I can kill any of them.
Sure you can. Remember what I showed you? Aim and shoot. It's us or them.
I got one! I got one!
Don't have an orgasm about it. And don't waste your fucking bullets on him if he's dead.
Robert, kill!
Outside, half a block away, Bobby Ash and his men.
You hear that? Gunfire from over there.
That's Danny's. It's coming from Danny's den. And now it's stopped.
Okay, we tie up our horses here and go on foot.
Guns ready, all of you. We're going in.
Ash and his men walk rapidly toward the club.
You think it's okay to leave our horses back there?
Don't be looking for no excuse to stay back, Dogger. No one will touch the horses if they know what's good for them. You are coming with the rest of us.
He grabs Dogger's arm and pulls him into line. Dogger looks back warily and sees several shifty characters eyeing the horses and waiting.
Inside, all but one of the crimps are dead. The survivor has a gun barrel pointed at each of his eyes from an inch away.
You will tell us where the records are. We are looking for one of your Shanghai victims.
We're looking for my brother. Chester Granger is his name. He came here. Do you know what happened to him?
I can't tell you a damn thing. We don't have no records. We process 100 boys a week, give them a good job on a ship. We help get these boys a career as sailors.
You mean selling them into slavery?
She gestures to the wallets and coins piled on the bar.
And stealing everything they have on them to boot.
You won't get away with this. You can't pull this shit on us. We own this fucking part of town. In minutes, dozens of my associates will arrive, and then you're goners.
As if on cue, the door bursts open and Bobby Ash's gunmen burst into the room. The smug look on the crimp's face suddenly goes sallow.
Who the fuck are you guys?
That's them, Bobby Ash. The ones that killed your kin.
Kill them! Kill them all!
Kill the two girls!
Fire, boys!
God damn it, Colt. I thought we could take them alive.
Too late for that, sir. Besides, too risky.
Too risky? Too risky? But there's only two of them. Two women against nine of us men? That's risky.
Not nine, six now. They already had Snare, Hawking, and Venter. Oops, the other Smith got it too. Not only can she shoot, but she makes bullets go where she wants them to go. And it's not where we want them to go. Crap, Renault just lost the top of his head. Most of them are laborers, not cowboys. Maybe in their heads they are, but... As you can see...
Looks like we got a bigger problem. Look out there!
Bobby Ash points to the window near the ceiling. Outside, an army of armed men approach. From the window on the far side, even more can be seen.
What's going on in there? Joe! Magnus! Give me a word, someone!
Chris, they got the place surrounded!
Anyone? Hey! Who's ever in there? We got this place surrounded!
Does everyone have to belabor the obvious?
Colt, tell the men to hold their fire.
No need for that, Bobby Ash. They all been shot except you and me.
You two want to come out from behind that table?
Please, don't shoot. I'm unarmed. Colt, drop the gun.
We're all dead anyway with those crimps out there.
I know you. You're Bobby Ash. You're Billy's brother. I seen a photo of you back at the ranch.
You must be my Aunt Sally.
That is so strange. What the hell are you doing here, Bobby? I thought you lived in San Francisco.
Get a brain, Sally. He's here to avenge his kin. Isn't that right, Bobby Ash?
That was something of the intention, yes.
You boys better come on out. Fun time is over. I'm giving you to the count of 13.
My 13?
But right now, you're 13. Probably the only ones who can get us out of here alive.
12.
There is no way out.
Eleven.
We're all fucking dead.
10.
There is one way out. Over there.
8.
Trap door?
7.
A tunnel to the docks.
6.
Don't know what we'll find on the other side.
5.
It's crazy.
4.
But.
3.
What other option do we have?
2.
Pick up your guns.
1.
Let's go.
0. Okay. Give you one more chance. Come out now.
I can't jump. There's dead guys down there.
They softened the fall.
They're not dead. Just drugged out. Down you go, Sally.
Fuck it! We're coming in!
Varla leaps into the car. Several hundred bullets rip through the windows along the ceiling on all sides of the room. Varla reaches over for a release strap near the trap door. And then they begin to roll into darkness as more bullets pulverize the room that vanishes above them.
They are in complete darkness as the cart rolls down the tracks.
Someone's on my way.
Sorry about that. Bobby Ash?
Sally Ash, is that you?
Uh-huh. Can I ask you something? Did you really want to kill us?
You killed my dad, my brother, my uncle. At least that's what they say, you and your friends.
Mostly her, but I wanted it.
How do you know they didn't come here to finish the job with you, Bobby?
Why would I want to do that? Bobby didn't do nothing bad to me. Bobby, why do you care so much about them dead when you didn't even like them when they were alive?
They weren't good people, were they?
No, I had to do what I had to do. And I'm sorry, Bobby. I never should have married your uncle.
Why did you come here to Portland if not to do it in Bobby like the rest of this team?
To find my brother.
Did you find him?
No. He might be on a ship somewhere. Anywhere in the world, I guess.
Sorry for that. You obviously cared for him.
Well, all of you shut up. There's light up ahead.
Meanwhile, at the docks.
I can hear in another half minute.
What the hell is going on here? Where did all these boys come from? I don't know anything.
Relax, Captain. This is not a bust. We're just here to see that everything goes smoothly.
I don't see why you need a whole army here.
Please, Captain, if you can stand aside. It's almost here. Get back, Boondog, and everyone be quiet.
The crimp at the metal gate runs back behind the others. 30 men are fanned out 20 feet from the tunnel on both sides, and also above at the edge of the wall. All guns are aimed at the gate and the tunnel.
This is ridiculous. You're all acting like children.
The cart rolls out of the tunnel to the end of the tracks. 5 men have been propped up, seated along both sides of it. No one makes a move.
You all stand up slowly and show your hands.
I think those are the ones we dosed. None of them can put up their hands.
Where the hell am I? What's going on?
The Mormon who did not drink as much tries to sit up, causing one of the seated men to fall over. A nervous finger tightens on a trigger.
Fuck!
He fires back. And then suddenly, near everyone fires at the cart. Bullets fly and ricochet as the air fills with gun smoke and the stench of blood and gunpowder.
Stop fire, I've been hit. Fuck.
Hold your fire! Hold fire! Hold your fucking fire, everyone!
Stop shooting, goddammit!
You idiots! You just shot up a good crew!
With guns aimed, the men advance on the cart. Nothing but dead bodies, and none of the dead men is armed.
This is fucked up!
Several minutes earlier, in the tunnel, Bobby Ash lights up a match with his lighter device. Their faces flicker in the match flame as the walls of the tunnel move slowly around them.
Most of the tunnels beneath these streets are connected. The cart's moving slow enough. If we can find a side tunnel...
Good idea. We can avoid the welcoming committee at the end of the track. Everyone get ready to jump ship.
Up ahead, to the left.
Half a minute later, Varla, Sally, Colt, and Bobby Ash are off the rail cart and they scurry like rats through another tunnel.
Up ahead, lighting's out. We can stand up here.
You need any help, Sally?
No, Bobby. Thanks for asking. Do you?
What's going on?
The tunnel ends here. Bobby, give us a new light.
I only got one or two left. Here it goes.
Bobby flashes another match. In the flicker above them are some ladder steps and a door on the ceiling.
Look, a door. Let me go first.
We cut to a large brothel suite. The mayor, wearing no pants, stabs out his cigar and prepares to climb in bed on top of a naked woman who awaits him with legs spread.
Lady, I am ready to sample from your carnal delight. Huh? What is that noise?
A trapdoor on the floor creaks open, and a head emerges. Mayor Johnson runs back towards the door for his pants, and then looks back.
Mayor Johnson!
Bobby Ash!
Bobby Ash climbs out of the trap doorway, followed by Varla, Sally, and Colt. The mayor has a sheepish look on his face as he sticks his pants in front of his privates.
Well, Bobby, you got me in a compromised position here.
Sorry, Mayor. Didn't mean to interrupt anything with you and your... That's not your wife, Mayor Johnson, is it?
Listen, Bobby, I'm sure we can come to some understanding here. If you keep this under your hat and you make sure all your friends do the same.
Mayor Johnson, I think we can.
And our story is now ready to draw to a close. Bobby Ash got the permits he needed to develop more properties, and the crimps never found out who shot up dozens of their gang. Within a couple years, Sally married her brother-in-law, Bobby Ash.
Why the hell didn't I see that one coming? Why are you doing this to me, Sally?
He reminds me of Clyde, but without the bad things.
And at least he has money. Shit, Sally, I'm gonna miss you.
Maybe you can work for Bobby. He needs someone to...
No, Sally, I don't think so.
Bobby soon bought up some North End properties for cheap, and then resold them to a few successful gold prospectors who made it up from California.
Bobby prospered and became even wealthier as Oregon achieved statehood and Portland continued to grow. They even named a downtown street after him at the border of the infamous North End.
Sally grew bored of Bobby and began to pine again for her friend Varla, dreaming back to the days when they rode their horses across Oregon territory.
As for Varla, she rode off into the sunset alone to strange new adventures. But that's another story, and you'll have to wait to hear it.
And thus concludes tonight's Ubu Wild West drama, 50 Guns at Dusk. 50 Guns at Dusk was written and directed by Rolf Semprabon and performed by...
Anna Karenina.
Bob.
Jalen.
Cisco Key.
Rolf.
Larry.
Victor Rattlehead.
Billy.
Aaron Yankee.
This radio play is the sequel to Three Deaths at Ash Ranch. If you missed that one or want to hear them again, the podcast is available at kboo.fm.
What name did you say?
Cisco
Keen.
Oh, okay.
Cisco Keen.
Cisco
Keen. On R2?
Oh, yeah.
R2.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, I said the Cisco Keen was the mic that doesn't work, so.
Yeah. I know it's
What about...
Radio theater?
Not really.
503-231-8187.
Not really.
What?
Contribute, or you can go online and...
Make a secure online donation. Go to kboo.fm.
What?
Sure. Donate now to support Radio Theater and KBOO.
About...
What?
You can make a secure online donation
this one.
Right there from your very own computer.
Really.
You don't have to talk to anyone. You just go to kboo.fm.
What about this one?
Hello, Portland. This is Rick Steves. If you like Ubu Hour as much as I do, give us a call and make a donation.
503-231-8187.
Give us a call now.
What about...
If you enjoy Radio Theater, please call us now. We're going to...
503-231-8187.
Hey, and if you're listening to the web, you can also donate securely online at kboo.fm.
Somebody has to make up for all the people that have
quit KABU because the show was so offensive to them. So please, if you're one of the people that do like the show, we really need your support.
You like that better?
What about...
Hello, KABU members. This is Groucho.
Such an honor to meet you.
I want you to give me a call right now.
503-231-8187.
So if you say the secret word, well...
What?
I don't know what happens.
This one.
Hello, out there. If you really like KABU, give us a call.
What about...
Hey, have you actually gone to KBOO.FM?
Not really.
Become a member of KABU. Donate securely online on your computer. You just go to KBOO.FM.
Give us a call now.
Oh, my. Or you can go online at KBOO.FM and donate now or today or whatever it says.
This is Martin Farrington Pett III. If you like KABU as much as I do, please consider giving us a phone call right
call
now.
Call now, 503-231-8187.
Thanks ever so much.
I saw your play last night and you were brilliant.
Hey, what about have you actually...
Support the radical, locally produced radio theater shows that come to you every Monday night here on KABU.
$40 will make you a member of the station and will let us know that you value the current programming.
What?
Wonderful shows like Sudden Radio, The Listeners, The Gremlins, and The Ubi Hour.
These shows create brave new worlds and fashion bold statements from the scratchy airwave static to keep you alive and laughing.
Or maybe confused. What about...
And it's up to you to make that call. 503-231-8187.
What about...
Well, this is Dr. Hibbard. If you'd like...
The Ubu Hour!
Why don't you think about sending us some money? We could use it. This is KABU. Just give us a call at
503-231-8187.
And if you didn't like the show...
Just get out.
Don't call us. And if you didn't like the show...
Get the fuck
out. Don't call
out.
Us. Thank you. Again, that's...
503-231-8187.
Any amount will help.
Need some cash?
It's quick and easy to donate to KABU. No matter who you are, we love your support.
Need some cash?
Where else are you gonna get this stuff? I mean, come on. If you like
the Ubu Hour.
Can't handle this anymore.
Why is that?
This one.
If you like out of control, non-stop nonsense, you should donate today.
Need some cash?
Hey, and if you're listening to the web, you can also donate securely online at KBOO.FM.
So call in at
503-231-8187.
Some cash.
Six. Have a lovely day.
Thanks.
No.
Who are you?
Just get out.
Do you want to act?
Six, six, and donate right, right now.
Six, six, six. What number?
No, we're not doing that.
The angels, not half so happy in heaven, went envying her and me.
What?
That was the reason, as all men know in this kingdom by the
Once
sea.
Upon a midnight dreary,
the wind
while I pondered being wary.
Chilling.
There came a tapping.
Killing.
Gently rapping on my chamber door.
You better get the hell out of here before I pull out the big gun on you.
Baby, your gun doesn't work on me.
I don't mean to scare you. You're not in any trouble. Everything's fine. You'll be fine.
He was telling the truth. Oh, well.
Hello? But honey, someone brought this by our stoop. And I just thought you should be somewhere safe when you found out. Hello?
Here we go.
I apologize for the mystery.
Some cash?
No, I don't.
Would you fuck him?
No.
I don't mean to scare you. You're not in any trouble. Everything's fine. You'll be fine.
I made you some tea.
Thank you.
How many assassins do they have in this town?
Ouch. That looks like it hurt.
No, right.
This is life eternal.
What's so funny?
It's the maid.
This all that youth will give to you. It is the season for wine, roses, and drunken friends. Be happy for this moment.
This moment is your life.
Stage four, sir. You've got multiple stab wounds. The wounds are jagged. The blade must have some kind of serration.
Never again. When will we have met before, please?
I'll know much more tomorrow.
I hope so. Enlighten me.
The cause of death is obvious.
That's my patron.
Where was Forrest?
Over here. He comes in, he gets hit.
It was nice meeting you.
How many sins do they have in this town?
Ouch. Blacks out. He comes to and goes upstairs and finds him.
And saw what?
The bodies.
So anything's possible, right? Come on. Christian, why are you asking me these things?
I think this is a mistake.
There's no such thing as a mistake. There's what you do and what you don't do.
I can't do this.
There's no such thing as a mistake. There's what you do and what you don't do.
What is it?
Phone answering room.
It's the gift that keeps
And good evening. This is Ani, and it is our pleasure to be here during the spring membership drive. Our very
community
as we ask for your support.
Because we are doing this for you, this is in the name of.
There's no such thing as a mistake. That's what you do and what you don't do.
Community radio.
And we're here to tell you that one person, one vote is really the way it is.
What is it?
To fill in the needs for the finances.
And if you do enjoy what you're hearing,
one phone call, one vote. This is your last chance, your last time.
Are the numbers to call?
I didn't want to push that.
That's okay.
There's no such thing as a mistake. That's what you do and what you don't do.
This is
503-231-8187.
This program, he's a diligent volunteer.
KBOO.FM
is
our
Ubu Hour.
This show.
There's no such thing as a mistake. That's what you do and what you don't do.
To bring you a full hour of the Ubu Hour.
Well, that's Fo.
That's Daniel.
I'm so excited. I've been emailing people and Facebooking. Like, you've got to listen to KBOO right now.
During this membership drive, all of them need you to step up the game as well. Join KBOO today or
your phone call in right now.
503-231-8187.
We'll go towards this.
I could somehow encourage your mind to develop a firmer grasp of reality.
This has been the Ubu Hour.
Radio Theater!
Come
coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO. But have no fear, because there is Radio Theater every Monday at 11 p.m. If you want to hear other Ubu Hour Radio Theater shows, you can go to www.kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U, Hour.
Hey, have you actually gone to kboo.fm? Become a member of KBOO. Donate securely online on your computer. You just go to kboo.fm. FM.